Welcome to the Sports Medicine Podcast, brought to you by the Sidney and J.L. Huffines Institute for Sports Medicine and Human Performance in the Department of Health and Kinesiology at Texas A&M University. At the Huffines Institute, we're always working to facilitate, apply, and bring you the most up-to-date coverage of the wide world that is sports medicine and human performance, all in language you can understand and share with your friends. And now, here's our host, the director of the Huffines Institute, Dr. Tim Lightfoot.
We want to welcome all of our podcast listeners today. Thank you so much for taking the time to download us and join us here today as we talk about the wide and varied world of sports medicine. We're really excited to have Dr. Jacques Delaire in the studio with us today. He's the director and, I don't know, what are you, Jacques, of Performance Prime, the owner?
Mm-hmm.
Instigator?
I'm the chief cook and bottle washer for Performance Prime.
Chief cook and bottle washer for Performance Prime. Let me tell everyone a little bit about Jacques here. Jacques has a doctorate in exercise physiology from the University of Alberta. He taught at McGill University. He eventually became the manager of science and medicine programs at Sport Canada. That's for all of Canada. And through that work, he started working with motorsports athletes. And since 1992, I believe, he's been in the States working with primarily with motorsports athletes and helping them increase their performance. But he's also worked with musicians and surgeons and some names of people that you will recognize, people like Ron Fellows, Andy Pilgrim, Helio Castroneves, Nigel Mansell, even. So welcome to the podcast today, Jacques.
Thank you very much for having me.
So let's just start off with a real general question. So what does Performance Prime do?
Performance Prime is a company that is directed towards helping people improve their personal performance. People or groups, organizations, teams. Our work is designed specifically to understand what the issues are that these teams wrestle with and help them to improve their personal performance and group performance by dealing with exercise physiology questions, mental skills questions, nutrition if that's an element, and so on.
You get hired by teams and so forth to help them with their performance. What's the biggest issue that you have to deal with?
I could answer that question by asking you a question.
Okay.
What I've asked people who come and visit with me and individuals that I work with, what they're doing here, why they're visiting with me, what it is they're trying to change about themselves. And it doesn't matter where they come from, what culture they're from, language they speak, how old they are, whether they're male or female, or what their job function is. The majority of the high-performance people that I deal with, the vast majority, come back with the same two questions. So the issue really is, what stops people from delivering their best performance in the moment when performance is required? What do you think that is?
So what stops people from delivering their best performance in that moment when they've got to perform, right?
When they're on the line and their performance is required as a surgeon, as a musician, as a race car driver, as a fighter pilot, or a law enforcement person. When the moment comes to deliver, what holds people back? What stops them from delivering their best performance?
I would bet it's focus.
That is one of the two things. People come and visit with me, and their request of me is, show me how to focus more effectively, and when I lose my focus, how to get it back quickly. Because if I am distracted, I will not do my best work.
And it's easy to get distracted, isn't it?
It sure is. So I would say, of course, there are issues of physical preparation, but at the high-performance level, the majority of high-level athletes are physically well prepared enough.
Okay.
They are able to deliver the physical instances.
Mm-hmm.
What they're sometimes do wrestle with is the ability to control their minds in a way that their performance becomes the best they're capable of.
So this is the mental health aspect, or the mental focus.
The mental skills.
Yeah.
The mental skills aspect. So focus is one of the two things that people come and visit with me looking to improve their personal performance. And I've been fortunate in being able to work with many different animals from many walks of life, but generally people who are highly successful, multiple world champions, multiple series champions, people in their profession acknowledged to be amongst the best in the world at what they do. And this is one of the key things that they're looking for, the ability to control their focus, to be on the right thing at the right time.
Now, are these skills that you teach these athletes, are these skills that people can use in everyday life?
Oh, I think absolutely. I think every one of us, if we were answering that question that I posed earlier, what is it that stops you from delivering your A game in the moment when it's required? One of the things that people talk about consistently is distractions, the ability to focus. And the second element is the issue of self-doubt or confidence, self-confidence. Because people say, when my confidence goes down, my performance goes down. And I need to be able to focus fully on the task in front of me to deliver my best performance. And consistently, when I do seminars with teams, organizations, whatever, and I pose that question to the group within 1 minute, those are the two things that come from the audience.
But don't high-level athletes, don't they have the confidence? You mean to say that they need help with their self-confidence?
They do have confidence. And in fact, you know, if you think about race car drivers or people who are in these high-risk, high-demand professions, the majority of us out in the community would say, my goodness, I've never seen someone who is as focused or as confident as these people tend to be. And that is true. They are highly confident in most instances and very able to focus in most instances. And yet, when they come to visit with me, that's what they're looking for more of, because they know that it's not always that way. And when they are held back, those are the things that get in the way. So, yes, they are confident and focused individuals by and large, but they also realize that those are the two most critical variables for their ability to deliver performance in the moment when it's required. And I think if we in the audience were to look at our own jobs, the things that we do, and pose ourselves the question, what stops me? I think the majority of people would come up with the words self-doubt and distractions.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, and so this leads into the next question, and that is, so how do you help people in the moment gain their focus and their self-confidence?
The first step in any process is understanding why it happens.
Mm.
I think of myself principally as an educator.
Mm-hmm.
I have developed over time a framework of understanding that helps individuals to understand how the process of self-sabotage begins, evolves, and ultimately impacts their performance. So the first step is understanding, how is it that we shoot ourselves in the foot?
So that, and that's what you're saying is the first step, is it's their self-confidence is what shoots them in the foot the first time, which may actually pull their focus off.
That's exactly right. I think of it kind of and the description I use is the idea of an onion. The core of the onion is the ability to focus in the moment on the task in front of us to the exclusion of everything else that in that moment becomes a distraction. The next layer outward is the issue of confidence. And the real problem is when we start to doubt ourselves, when we lose our confidence, our focus of attention shifts away from what it is we should be focused on to what it is we're worried about. And the problem ultimately expresses itself in an inappropriate focus in the moment when performance is required. And of course, anxiety goes up, and then we start worrying about whether we're going to fail, what are other people going to think of us, and all the other negative baggage and crap that comes about as a result of that self-destructive behavior.
It's a self-reinforcing cycle, isn't it?
It's a self-reinforcing cycle, and it applies to every job function in every part of the globe. I have yet in 35 years of working with high-performance people to be shown a single instance where these kinds of things do not apply.
Hmm.
It's a universal truth. It's a basic truth.
Now, you and I have chatted in the past, and you have a couple things, one you call Factor A and one you call Factor B. Can you tell us about Factor A and Factor B?
Sure. You're referring to what I have called the performance equation. And the performance equation is as simple as this. A times B equals results. I have yet to meet any high-performance person since I've started working with these animals 37 or 38 years ago who has come to me and said, my goal is to be a loser.
Mm.
I'd really like to fail. I want to come in last. No one's ever said that. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, no one dreams of being last.
No one dreams of, no one ex- no one seeks to be last.
Right.
Everyone wants to be successful. So in that performance equation, it is a given that we all want results. We all want our performance to lead to the kinds of results we hope to have or believe that we can. Now, having said that, how do we make results as large as possible? The equation A times B is the answer. A in this equation represents what I bring to the party,
mm-hmm.
my performance. The knowledge, the skill, the experience that I have in the moment when I toe the line to perform, that is critical.
Everything you've done.
Everything I've done, my experience, my physical preparation, my nutritional status, all of the things that lead me to toe the line at the moment of that performance, plus the effort and commitment I bring to deliver that to the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could be very knowledgeable, skillful, and experienced and be lazy and not bring it to the moment when it's required. My assumption is our A game, the full-on A game, is everything we possess delivered to the moment of that performance.
Mm. Okay.
That's the A of the equation.
Okay.
Now, if we do that, if we're successful in doing that, if a race car driver is successful in doing that, if a football quarterback is successful in doing it, does it guarantee that we're going to get the result we want? No, it doesn't. Why? Because there's a second factor in this equation. And the second factor is the B factor. The B factor, by definition, is all those things that are outside of my control. A piece of equipment breaking, what other competitors do. All of those other B factors in life get in the way sometimes of the results we so desperately are shooting for.
So I like this equation so far. It's only two variables.
It's only two variables.
The things I can control and things I can't.
Things you can control, which is yourself and what you bring to the party, and things that you cannot.
Right.
How many people do you know, when it comes time to delivering their performance, are worrying about whether the results are going to be good enough or worrying about the B factors that might surface?
Well, absolutely. I can give you an example. I had a talk this past weekend at a conference, and the AV system was messed up, and it just flustered me so bad it just screwed up the rest of my presentation. And it was nothing I could have done anything about.
Correct.
But yet I let it get in my way.
You allowed that B factor to undermine your focus, your calmness, and the kind of control that you needed to deliver the best presentation you were capable of.
Right.
You allowed a B factor in the moment of the presentation to get in the way of the quality of the A you were able to deliver.
Right.
And think about it. How general, how pervasive is that situation across life? B factors arise all the time. People are so concerned about the results that they achieve. They're often focused on the results. Instead, they should be focused on the quality of the A and what A represents for them, the delivery of their performance in the moment. The results are simply a consequence of what we do, what we bring to the equation, multiplied by, influenced by the B factors. Sometimes they're B pluses, or the windshield. Sometimes they're B minuses and we're the bug.
Right.
Sometimes they're large Bs and they have a significant effect. Sometimes they're little Bs and they have a negligible effect. The truth of it is, to establish results, to create results, it is a product of these two things. What we bring interfered with or affected by the B factors that are outside of our control.
So you're saying
Don't
focus on the outcome.
Don't focus on the results. The results will look after themselves. And I think if every one of us out there in the audience thinks about the moments of our best performance, one of the descriptors that people would use to describe that moment is fully connected to what they're doing. Not worrying about the outcome, not focused on the result, instead fully engaged with the process that leads them to that result.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the issue of confidence comes in. If we went out on the street and asked 100 people stopping in front of the building where you are, what is it that stops you? What is it that gets in the way? Why is it that you lose your confidence? Their ultimate answer, I think, would be, my confidence is shaken when the results I hoped for or expected don't materialize.
Right.
Most of us define our confidence around the results that we achieve. Would you agree with that?
Well, I would agree. I'm sitting here thinking or pondering, and this, to some extent, sounds very simple. How do you get people to stop focusing on the B factors?
Understand the simple equation. Understand it deeply. That, in fact, the B factors are going to occur by definition. They're outside of your control. The question is, how will you deal with the B factors? How effectively are you able to bring your A to deal with any Bs that might show up? The better you're able to do that, the better the result will be in that day. Mm-hmm. Is it what you hope for? Not necessarily, because you can't control the B factors.
Right.
The truth is, we can't control results because we can't control the B factors, and yet we tend to define our confidence around results, which
right.
means, if that is true, we're not in control of confidence. Confidence is great when things are going well. Confidence tanks when our results are not so good.
Yeah, and I think there are a lot of people that define themselves by their results, right, rather than their effort.
I think the majority of people do.
Yeah.
We are defined by our results. So often our confidence follows that roller coaster. When results are great, our confidence tends to be high. When results are low or poor, our confidence tanks.
Right.
And when our confidence tanks, we start worrying, and our focus of attention shifts away from the task that we should be focused on to whatever it is we're worried about. And well, and the more competitive a person is, the bigger the gun they shoot themselves in the foot with, because they're so results focused.
Well, and that's how society defines people, though. I mean, you look in the sports page on Monday morning, and it's which quarterback won the game. You know, mm-hmm. it doesn't say anything about how what they brought to the game, but you know, which one ultimately succeeded in
there
results.
Are many sports and many situations where the outcome is critical, and I'm not for a moment saying that the outcomes aren't important. In fact, they're all important. Think of the people that I get to deal with. These are high performance people in high risk and high demand environments. For them, the results are critical. The question becomes, how do we make results as big as possible?
Right.
Stop focusing on the results. Trust that the results will be as good as they can be if you turn your focus fully on the act of execution, on the process of delivering the performance in the moment when it's required.
Right.
And we all know from experience that that's usually when we do our best work. That's what people call being in the zone.
Yeah. So does this work?
It's a highly trainable thing.
Hmm.
It does work. Part of the process involves first understanding how the self-sabotage occurs. And I've used some, as you know, I've developed a set of simple rules of the mental road.
Mm-hmm.
Seven simple rules, six key ones, that talk about how human beings process information and the way that we process, how it affects performance. And once people understand those rules, and think in a manner that respects those rules, their performance tends to get better.
Mm-hmm.
If you violate the rules, your performance is worse, guaranteed.
So how is what you're doing different from sports psychology?
That's a tough question to answer. First of all, I'm not a psychologist, so I can't lay claim to doing sports psychology.
Right.
I'm dealing with mental skills. I'm dealing with performance from a very much educational approach. Helping people to understand the way they sabotage themselves in the way that they're thinking and how they can use some basic rules about how the mind processes information to shape their dominant thought, to shape the way they think as they face the challenges that their sport brings them or their occupation brings them.
Right.
And if they can learn to control how they're thinking in the face of those challenges, they generally are able to perform better. So, it's mental skills. Is sports psychology, does sports psychology touch on mental skills? It absolutely does. But anybody who's in a performance environment also touches on mental skills, and it isn't necessarily psychology.
Right.
I'm not dealing with individuals who have phobias or clinical cases of psychological problems.
Right.
I'm dealing with high-performance people who are focused on performance.
Who are working on making their game better.
Even if they're at the top, working on making their game better. Even if they're multiple world champion, but simply like the taste of that and would like to stay there and improve their performance even more.
Right. So as we come to the end of our time here, Jacques, do you have a take-home message for the audience, maybe how they can incorporate some of this into their own life?
I think if I was to offer one take-home message, I would suggest this. It is a question of controlling our focus. And I think if we learn to control our focus, to be on the right thing at the right time, we will do better. People come and visit with me and say, I can't focus. And I tell them right off the bat, no, I think you're wrong. What you should have said is this. Sometimes I can't control my focus to be on the right thing at the right time. And that gets in the way of my performance. And that's really the issue. It's a question of controlling our thinking. And most of us don't think about the quality of our thinking. We just think. We just react to things. We don't stop and say, is this what I should be focused on? Am I focused correctly at this moment on the right thing at the right time? And am I steering my thought process correctly? That is something we can all do better. And it's a matter of learning how to control the way that we think.
You've given us much to think about, and hopefully you've given us things that people can incorporate into their own life. We got to stop worrying about the B factors and concentrate on the A factors, and we can go forward from there, huh?
I think if all of us were to focus more on the A factors in our life, our performance in the midst of the things that we do, life would be easier, we would be less stressed, and our actual results would tend to be better.
So
we've experienced that. On some occasion, we just don't seem, we let it slip through our fingers on other occasions.
So you've given us the recipe for health and happiness, is what you're saying.
I think of it more as a recipe to improve our performance, and by doing so, we will likely be healthier and happier.
Yeah, I'm trying to box you in here.
There's no magic bullet here. There's nothing, as I often have this discussion with the high-performance people I've dealt with, I'm not telling them something that they don't already know. It's just that the framework of information and the way I've packaged it and the way I've been able to deliver it has helped them to understand and connect the dots in a way that they have been able to change their mental approach to performance, and their performances have been better. And I would encourage anybody who's interested in some of this information, there are materials on my website that they can access and download to talk about the rules of the mental road and concentration and so on that are freely available there.
Well, thank you for that. We'll put the link to your website and the show notes. So, Jacques, we want to thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. And we want to thank all of you that are listening and have taken the time to download us. Please remember that we have a new website at huffinesinstitute.org. If you have previously subscribed to the podcast, we'd like to ask you to go back to that new website and resubscribe there. I think we've taken care of all of our feed issues with iTunes and some of the other feed providers, so it should make it actually easier, and you may get more options that way. Again, we just thank you for joining us, and we do have a question for the free T-shirt today that Justin's going to give us right now.
So what's one of the two main things that people come to Jacques for to improve their performance? Be the first one to answer it correctly and send it to huffinespodcast@hlkn.tamu.edu and win a free T-shirt.
Again, thanks everyone for joining us today, and we hope you have a healthy and active week.
The Sports Medicine Podcast is produced by Justin Dobson and licensed by the Huffines Institute at Texas A&M under a Creative Commons 3.0 license. You can share it as much as you want, and you can talk or blog about it all you want. Just don't change it or charge money for it. This podcast is made possible by support from the Omar Smith family and the Sydney and J.L. Huffines family. Our music was composed, performed, and graciously provided by Dave Zeltner Productions, your source for quality music and music production since 1992. Find them at www.davidzeltner.com. Our opening and closing credits were provided by John Miles Productions at johnmilesproductions.com. If you have questions or comments, please send them to huffinespodcast@hlkn.tamu.edu. From all of us at the Huffines Institute, we hope you have an active and healthy week.